Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the special edition of the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show as we review the two wild card games that were exciting, a lot of fun, and definitely so full of excitement, so full of energy. It was an absolute fun two nights of the beginning of the 2014 MLS Cup playoffs with so much excitement. Just so much energy coming out of these games. And yes, I'm still a little speechless after last night's victory by the New York Red Bulls over Sporting Kansas City and everything that's been going on with these games. Who would have thunk it that it was going to be a penalty being called by Mark Geiger against the Vancouver Whitecaps that would give FC Dallas the opportunity to retake the lead at home at Toyota Stadium, and it just went absolutely bonkers. If you were able to watch last night's match between the Red Bulls and Sporting Kansas City at Red Bull Arena, it was just unbelievable what the energy was at Red Bull Arena, especially with so many calls being made or so many non-calls being made at the same time. It just probably scratched your head. But Bradley Wright Phillips, the Golden Boot winner of 2014, once again made everyone believe that he should have broken that record. But at the same time, his form is unbelievable. He's scoring goals like there's nobody's business. 6 goals in 4 games. This season against Sporting Kansas City and against that back line, against that keeper and Eric Cronberg, just amazing everything that was going on over at Red Bull Arena last night, and a major jinx has been broken. Unbelievable stuff going on here. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand what most of you or some of you were saying about when a regular season ends with the top of the table winner winning the title, and that's fine by me, and hopefully we'll get to that sometime down the road, not right now, because now it's just not able to do it. And I've said this many, many times when it comes to this whole type of situation. Right now, I am for the playoffs. What we saw these past two nights were thrilling, entertaining, jaw-dropping, nail-biting action that you never thought you'd ever see. And it's just been an absolutely fantastic finish to the end of the regular season, now a fantastic start to the playoffs. And with these victories, both sides will now face the top finishers of each conference. The Red Bulls will now be taking on DC United, and FC Dallas will be taking on the Seattle Sounders. But what you saw, no one saying quit, no one saying I'm done, no one saying I am not going to bother going forward anymore. These players went further. They kept on going. And boy, oh boy, how much excitement was there to see these teams who were fighting for their lives to get to play another pair of matches into the next round to take on top teams that they're going to have to face. And you know what? I got to say it. It was thrilling. It was exciting. It was the best thing so far. I mean, Bradley Wright Phillips for the Red Bulls has been fantastic scoring as many goals as he has this year. True, he could have had more, but I think we'll see some more excitement out of him next season when 2015 rolls along. And at the same time, look at the fight that FC Dallas had. I mean, that was a game that probably was destined to get into extra time, and it never happened. One little mistake in your area, if you're caught ball watching, and then your right arm slightly moves forward and handles the ball in your area, you got to know where you are, and you have the look of guilt on your face right at the ref, you've already lost. You have already lost when you show that guilty face to the referee and you beg him not to blow the whistle and not point the spot, and it happened. It's been unbelievable what we have seen these playoffs do. A lot of excitement, a lot of energy. It was just unbelievable what we have seen in these playoffs to start it off. And now we are going to have ourselves a real good time when we have these matchups ready for you in basically tomorrow. Pardon me. Tomorrow, we're going to have some great playoff games. Sunday, we're going to have some great playoff games. Boy, oh boy. This is going to be exciting. This is going to be exciting. This is going to be fantastic. This is going to be a moment where we could see the true definition of a champion when we get into these playoffs. And so far, you've got a red-hot Bradley Wright Phillips going forward. The FC Dallas, who had a pretty good season going forward as well, defeating Vancouver. Everything's just been pretty good up to this point. We'll see what happens, of course, this weekend, starting tomorrow. But boy, oh boy, you know, I'm still speechless. How that ending happened last night, Bradley Wright Phillips finishing off Sporting Kansas City in style. It was just fun to watch last night. It was absolutely a joy to watch last night. And you just got to say, real quickly now, here we go. Your East and Western brackets, and both ending in a 2-1 victories for the home side. On Saturday, November 1st, at 4 p.m. Eastern, New England Revolution hosting the Columbus Revolution. And that will be seen on MLS Live, as well as locally on, nationally on Univision Deportes network channel, and local broadcasters, Time Warner Cable Sports Channel Columbus, Comcast Sportsnet New England. Also on Saturday, November 1st in the Western Conference, Real Salt Lake hosting the LA Galaxy. That's at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. 6 o'clock Mountain, nationally on NBC Sports Network, as well as in Canada on RDS2, French language. On Sunday, November the 2nd, 4 p.m. Eastern at Red Bull Arena, the New York Red Bulls will be hosting the first leg against DC United at Red Bull Arena. Also on Univision Deportes Network, Comcast Sportsnet, Mid-Atlantic or Washington, MSG as well as MLS Live, and then it's FC Dallas hosting the Seattle Sounders in the first leg, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2, nationally on TSN2, Sunday, November the 2nd, and those are the first legs of the conference semifinals in both East and West. A lot of exciting things going on, a lot of fun things going on, and so far it's off to a roaring start. What's going on here with the MLS Cup playoffs and the bracket and what we could have down the road. Now, before we move forward with the reviewing both games, I'd just like to let everyone know, just to inform everyone, Mr. Sean Reed finally published his book. It is out now online on Amazon, as well as, well, actually, I should double check that. Let me just double check Amazon to make sure that they do have it on there, because I have seen on the website, I have seen on his website. Ah, yes, it is. It is all, you can go and get it on Amazon. Love Thy Soccer, the Fan Rewrites the Book on the American Game by Sean Reed, with a foreword by John Strong. And here's the title, here's the description. Love Thy Soccer is a unique work that provides an all-embracing view of American soccer from the perspective of its fans. Collected from 5 years of research, hundreds of interviews, and travel throughout the country, presents a rich tapestry of the game woven through the stories of many who have spent their lives dedicated to the sport and its growth in the United States. From journalists, experts, and historians to the game's professionals and the supporters who cheer them on, Love Thy Soccer is the most comprehensive work on American soccer to date. Reed discusses every aspect of the game at its various levels, the impact on the fans, and its awesome future. And you can look for me in this book as well. My name is on the cover of the book. It's next to Mike Firpo from Soccer Newsday, as well as near Brian McBride. Very, very privileged and honored. Very, very honored to be a part of this book. And if you have any questions for me when you're reading stuff about me in this book, gladly answer it for you. Sean Reed, I know he worked very hard on this book. I know that he traveled the country as many times as possible. Met Mr. Reed in Hoboken. We had a good slice of pizza together. Went to Red Bull Arena when it opened back in 2010. It's just one of those things where, and I've stayed in touch with Sean Reed throughout the years since we met. Very nice guy, a wonderful person to chat with, to talk to. He has his ideas. He listens to your ideas. It's just been an absolute privilege to talk with Mr. Reed, and hopefully after the playoffs we'll get a hold of him and we'll talk about his book some more, and finally getting it published and talking about everything there is with Love Thy Soccer. It's a fantastic read. Please do so. I'm in the book, and hopefully it will become popular. At the moment, it says here, currently unavailable. We don't know when or if this item will be back in stock. So it's pretty interesting to see how popular this book has gotten. And good for him. Good for Sean Reed, and good for you to listen to it. Ladies and gentlemen, great show for you tonight. Of course, we're reviewing both wild card games, the New York Red Bulls defeating Sporting Kansas City by a final of 2-1, and at the same time, FC Dallas defeating the Vancouver Whitecaps by a final score of 2-1. Talking about FC Dallas, my first guest could not come on live, but we recorded the segment yesterday. The play-by-play voice of not just the Dallas Mavericks of the NBA, but the play-by-play voice of FC Dallas joins me to talk about FC Dallas in a recorded segment. It is Mr. Mark Followill, and here he is right now with me.
And this is Daniel Feuerstein once again, the Wild Card Review Show, 2014 MLS Cup Playoffs. I'm very excited to have on with me to recap FC Dallas' 2-1 win over the Vancouver Whitecaps, the play-by-play voice of not just the Dallas Mavericks, but also FC Dallas. It's Mr. Mark Followill. Mark, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
You got it, Daniel. How are things?
Oh, things are going very well, but things look pretty good for FC Dallas. What a match that was in the one-and-done. Boy, you just have to say that FC Dallas, Vancouver Whitecaps, both teams gave it everything they had, but that last-minute penalty with about maybe 10, 11 minutes remaining in regulation time, that was a big conversion to put FC Dallas into the conference semifinals.
Of it.
And I think the best one was the last one because Kendall Watson, it looked like he did watch the ball coming towards him and his arm was out there. I mean, normally you would probably say that was more ball to hand, but if Watson saw the ball coming and you see just a slight enough of a move forward to touch the ball, that's a proper handball call. And Mark Geiger, who is obviously probably one of the best referees right now in U.S. soccer, I think that was the proper call to make.
Mark Geiger is right now the best referee within U.S. soccer because I think he calls it right down the middle and he's very fair at his calls. Now,
the other thing too is that he had a really busy night. There were 7 cards. There were 42 fouls. And, I saw some comments on Twitter that a lot of people thought he didn't have a very good game. And I look at the 42 fouls that he called and the challenges that occurred. And to be honest with you, I mean, there was one play in the second half at the halfway line that I thought he probably try to stop counterattacking teams with pace, and that clearly is FC Dallas' style, and they're going to do what they can to stop them. And there were, you know, a lot of fouls in the game, and I think that you can't just let everybody get the crap kicked out of them out there. I mean, you've got to make some calls, and unfortunately it turned into 42 fouls over the course of the game, but I didn't think that Mark had much choice but to call it like that.
Absolutely. Let's go to that first Dallas goal. Tesho Akindele, I mean, that was great placement on the goal. He has been one of those revelations this season for FC Dallas, not just to have Blas Perez putting the balls in the back of the net for you, but Akindele looks like he is going to be a superstar in this league, and that was a great shot just to place it inside the far post.
Well, you know, Mauro Diaz wins a great ball there, too, and makes the proper pass and sets up Tesho where he's in position to be able to beat David Osted and end Vancouver's streak of goalless soccer, not allowing a goal at 433 minutes, I think is what it ended up being. But, you know, for a little background for your listeners on Tesho, he was at the Colorado School of Mines, a Division II school. He scored 76 goals in 4 years, and he went to the MLS Super Draft Combine, and he really impressed Dallas. And I talked to Oscar Perea about it earlier this year, and you know, one of the great things about Oscar that he told me was that he doesn't look at a player and say, you're this many years old, you can't play. You played at this level in college, you can't play. I don't see that in a player. If I think he can play, then I'm going to give him his opportunity. I don't care where he came from or how old he is. And Oscar shared a story with me about that's how a coach told him when he was 17 years old and put him out on the field. And he said, Coach, I'm only 17 years old. And his coach said, I don't care. You're a good player. Go out and play. And Oscar's had great faith in his young players this year. And players like Tesho Akindele have rewarded that faith. He's had a chance to play a lot this year. And he's been a great find for FC Dallas. And it's only going to get better.
Talking about Oscar Pereja coming back to manage FC Dallas, of course, formerly played for the club. How has he been so far, you know, in this first season? Obviously, you're in the playoffs, and that's a given. But has there been maybe some managing decisions that you can question, or has he been spot on from the start of the season up till now?
Well, I think no manager is going to be able to navigate all the way through 34 matches of a season and not make some decisions that you'll question along the way. But I think that the vast majority of them have worked out. I think players appreciate the belief that Oscar has in them, and they play hard for him. And look, there are a lot of guys who have a relationship with Oscar, be it, you know, Fabian Castillo from Colombia, countryman of Oscar Perez, or the fact that Oscar was the academy coach for FC Dallas for a number of years after he played here. And so all these young homegrown players that never had a chance before get thrust into the lineup this year. He has faith in them, and they go and seize an opportunity to play and don't lose jobs. Victor Ulloa is a great example of that. Moses Hernandez is an example of that. I mean, Tesho's not a homegrown player, but he's another example, obviously, as we talked about, of young players that Oscar, you know, had faith in, and the faith was rewarded. And I think, look, you know, let's talk about managing decisions, lineup strategy decisions from the game against Vancouver. I mean, they made some significant changes. Zach Lloyd moves from center back out to his, you know, natural outside back position. And, Walker Zimmerman comes in as a center back, and they needed the size against those big guys, Kendall Waston in particular, and Andy O'Brien for Vancouver. That worked out well. I think Tesho Akindele up front was a better option than David Teixeira. You know, when you have Teixeira there with Blas Perez, it's two target forwards. Akindele is a guy who can play out wide. He can move around and sit in behind a striker a little bit more and has, you know, pace and is also going to track back and defend. And so that was a really good choice. And then thirdly, putting Mauro Diaz back in as a starter after Diaz has only played 268 minutes since he got injured in late April and has been in and out of the lineup with other injuries. Look, that worked really, really well. That game with Portland last Saturday night, they played two target forwards and Perez and Teixeira. They played two wide guys in Escobar and Castillo. And then you've got two holding midfielders in Michel and Victor Ulloa. So you have this big donut hole in the middle of the park, and I thought Portland really was able to take advantage of that in the last regular season game. So you move Diaz back in, and you get someone to occupy a lot of that space in the midfield, and because of that, it was more possession, and obviously more things generated in the attack last night for FC Dallas, at least while Diaz, you know, had some gas in the tank. He obviously wore down in the second half, but those lineup changes to your initial question that Oscar made last night were spot on, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely, and you get the result that FC Dallas needed. They will advance now to the conference semifinals and take on the Supporters Shield winners, the four-time U.S. Open Cup champions, the Seattle Sounders. First leg will be at Toyota Stadium, and then you're going to head out to the West Coast at CenturyLink Field. What do you think is going to be the game plan to take on Ziggy Schmid and the Sounders, because it looks like they're firing on all cylinders and they're going to act like that they want the first treble in U.S. soccer club history?
Right. Well, you know, look, I think that Seattle and Dallas have some similarities. You know, Vancouver is going to try to stop you on the counterattack, and you know, they're going to do everything they can to not allow your pace and your ability on the ball and to play it wide and have guys who are very creative on the dribble like FC Dallas does. Vancouver physically was going to do everything they could to stop that. You know, now FC Dallas, I think, is in a position where, you know, Seattle is not going to play the physical game to the level that Vancouver is. So I think, you know, they're going to have Seattle, you know, they're going to allow those opportunities for Seattle to come at them, and then they're going to be able to try to counterattack back and hit them like that. So I think that's going to be part of the game plan, and that's what it was over the course of their regular season matchups. And to me, look, on a team with Clint Dempsey, on a team with Olufemi Martins, I'm going to give you a name that's going to maybe surprise some people about who I am really concerned about with Seattle. And that is that you look at the course of the last two seasons, and I can't give you the specific numbers off the top of my head, but if you look this up, you know, the box scores and the score lines will corroborate all this. Lamar Nagel is the guy with Seattle that is the thorn in FC Dallas' side. If a team ever got together and said, I want Darlington Nagbe and Lamar Nagel on my team, FC Dallas would never beat that team because of the trouble that they have with Nagbe, with Portland, the trouble that they have with Lamar Nagel with Seattle. And it's interesting because I feel like in my few seasons being involved with FC Dallas that for whatever reason, that kind of has been their deal. It's like they can't handle the big-name striker that everybody knows about. When San Jose was really rolling, Chris Wondolowski was never the guy that hurt FC Dallas. Their problem was dealing with Alan Gordon and Stephen Lenhart. And so Clint Dempsey is not the guy. Not to say that he hasn't scored goals against FC Dallas. I think he had one earlier this year. But the guy that buzzes around and gets into open space and finishes clinically, that player is Lamar Nagel. That's who FC Dallas has trouble with, and they're going to have to find a way to keep him from impacting the game. Otherwise, their season is going to come to an end before they want it to.
Absolutely, and that's going to be a big matchup. Don't forget, everyone, the first leg between Seattle and FC Dallas will be on November 2nd, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. The second leg will be on November the 10th at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 p.m. Central. Mark, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much for doing this, and I will talk to you next time. You're more than welcome to come back.
You got it, Daniel. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Mark Followill, play-by-play voice of FC Dallas on Time Warner Cable Sports Network as FC Dallas defeats the Vancouver Whitecaps in the final score of 2-1. A big penalty call for FC Dallas went their way, and it went through, and they just did a great job of doing what they did best. And that is to convert the timely goals that had to happen. And, of course, they pull it out. 2-1 win, FC Dallas, to advance to take on the Seattle Sounders in the conference semifinals. Very, very fun. Back now, the New York Red Bulls hosted Sporting Kansas City at Red Bull Arena last night. It was seen on ESPN2. A pretty good first half, an unbelievable second half. But let me just say this. You could see a little bit Sporting Kansas City looking a little bit off. Obviously, missing some players, got those missing players back. It looked like they were playing from behind a little bit. The Red Bulls had a good amount of chances in the first half, could not convert. Tim Cahill had a great chance earlier in the match, and he roofs it over the crossbar, got a little underneath the ball, and just went over the crossbar. A couple of solid attempts for the Red Bulls to try and get a goal. Unfortunately, they just could not get anything in the first half, but they had a good amount of chances to try and convert one before the halftime whistle. Several plays by Sporting Kansas City just didn't connect. They had that one opportunity, and it was a great save there by Luis Robles, point blank, right into his gut. It was a pretty good save. And then the second half began, and there you have the Red Bulls trying to set something up in midfield. A pass by Thierry Henry was a little too hard, and Eric Alexander couldn't control it. And that's where you saw Benny Feilharber and Dom Dwyer attacking down the north end, and fantastic pass by Feilharber to Dwyer. And he just ripped it right past Luis Robles in the 53rd minute. And for Red Bull fans, this is where the That's So Metro comes into play, because you have this sinking feeling of here we go again. You finished fourth. You're hosting a wild card game. If you win the wild card game, you stay at home. You stay at home. You sleep in your own bed, and you're waiting for DC United to come up Interstate 95 and the Turnpike to take them on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern at Red Bull Arena. What happens after that? A smart substitution by Mike Pecky. Brings in Peggy Lou Yandula, replaces Eric Alexander. You have Dax McCarty now back with the back line, not only helping them out on defense, but also bringing the ball up and trying to make some solid passes to try and help out with the offense. And what happens in the 77th minute? It was a great ball from Dax McCarty, a good long low roller, passed a solid hard ball to Lou Yandula, who collected it, and then he quickly set it in play towards Thierry Henry. Aurelien Collin on Henry. Henry savvy enough to know when to pass it, goes through the legs of Collin, right to Bradley Wright Phillips. BWP with a toe poke that deflects off the leg of Matt Beisler, and it goes to the near post and inside the near post, and it's 1-1. Red Bull Arena is going bonkers. And now you're starting to hope, and you're starting to think, maybe a second goal is coming. Maybe there is no way, maybe, that we can not to go into extra time. The clock is ticking up as we start to reach the beginning of the 90th minute. And you're already thinking, okay, there should be a good amount of stoppage time being added, that maybe we can still, that they can still prevent themselves from going into extra time. And what happens? Subbing into the match is Ambrose Oyongo. And this kid has been fantastic, along with Duval. Miazga's had at least a decent game or two, but Duval and Oyongo, this is the future of the club that we can see. And Oyongo, who gets the ball at the near side touchline, throws it back in. Peggy Luyendula does it again. Nice long low ball to Oyongo down the near side. And the cross by Oyongo into the middle wasn't that great. It's a bit of a pop-up. You saw him a little bit off-balanced when he kicked the ball towards the middle, a long, high pop-up. But the question of the night, if you are a supporter of Sporting Kansas City, twofold. Why did Kronberg get off his line and then scramble back towards it? And why did Matt Beisler not cover Bradley Wright Phillips? But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter. Truth of the matter is, you don't care if you are a supporter of the New York Red Bulls, because Bradley Wright Phillips was at the right place at the right time, and that header, slight touch off of his noggin for Bradley Wright Phillips, goes straight to the far post, off the inside of the far post, and into the back of the net. And that is the loudest I have ever heard Red Bull Arena celebrate a goal since Juan Pablo Angel's late-minute, last-minute free kick that nailed the inside of the far post, off the back of Pat Onstad, and into the back of the net against the Houston Dynamo. The year that Red Bull Arena opened in 2010, the second game before the World Cup back in 2010, that was unbelievable. That was fantastic. And I got to say this right now. Red Bulls, with the help of Bradley Wright Phillips, absolutely unbelievable what we have seen. And now they've got a playoff date, a two-goal aggregate with the away goals rule against DC United this coming Sunday and next Saturday. It should be a lot of fun to watch. It should be a lot of fun to see it. And now Mike Petke, head coach of the New York Red Bulls, discussing the match.
A quick note, the Red Bulls advance to face DC United first on Sunday at 4 o'clock. The game will be televised live on MSG and Univision report this, followed by the following Saturday, 2:30 on NBC at RFK Stadium. Mike, your thoughts on tonight's match?
Guys showed resiliency and guts, which is perhaps something I'm more proud of than any goals, any tactics. Kansas City is a great team. They really are. Peter Vermes is someone that I admire. Being older, you know, have played against him in the league when he was going out of the league and seeing what he's done with Kansas City. And they're a great team. They threw me for a loop coming in and sitting the way they did, but it was effective. They did a great job with it. We really couldn't break them down the deeper they were. But they're a quality side. They got a goal. And the guts that we showed, I'm very proud of. Now we have, what, 3 days, 2.5 days left? Is that how they scheduled the playoffs?
Sunday.
Three days maximum to get ready for D.C. So I'm proud of my guys.
Mike, was it ever in doubt for
you? You know, there was a point late in the second half that I literally was questioning if this team is scared of the playoffs. You know, over the last couple of years, I literally was saying, I don't believe in any curses or any jinxes or anything like that. I thought maybe we're just scared of the playoffs. But they proved that wrong, and now they're happy in the locker room, exhausted, and now it's on to DC. We need to get focused now.
Guys, please use the microphone being passed around. Franco, then Christian.
Mike, what did you think, or what did you see Piggy bring off the bench there in those last 20, 30 minutes that he came on, and what did you feel when you saw the second Bradley goal hit the back of the net?
I didn't know Bradley scored two, to be honest with you, until I was just told. That's how wrapped up I get in the game, to be honest with you. I wasn't sure if a younger scored because he celebrated and came over the bench. Peggy, when he's on, is able to control the ball. He's able to do things with the ball that, you know, not many people can. Spreading the ball out, holding the ball for us when we're giving away too much. I thought he did well. I thought he stepped into a difficult situation where we weren't having success going through the middle. And him jumping into the middle spot, I think there were times that he did well, held the ball for us, linked up well with Thierry Bradley. And Bradley, what can you say? You know, he's two goals again tonight. Love him.
Yeah, Chris.
Well, like last year's team won the Supporters Shield, couldn't get out of the first round of the playoffs. This year's team, is there something about the resilience of this team, the character of this team, maybe the adversity faced during the regular season has built something for the playoffs?
I hope so. This is one game. This is the play-in game. I'm not about to proclaim that we're, turned around and going to go past D.C. Not at all. You know, like I said, they showed a gutsy performance tonight. I'm proud of them. Our game plan kind of got reversed on us, how we wanted to approach tonight because of how KC played, but we found a way. You said Supporters Shield, but, that's long gone now. You know, Seattle has that now, so it's not even in our heads. And like I said, 3 days, 2.5 days to get these guys mentally and physically ready for a huge game on Sunday. It's going to be difficult, but, this is what the playoffs is about in MLS, and we need to do that.
Hey, Justin.
How does it feel, and what does it mean to finally get a playoff win in this building?
It's amazing for the moment. In the 10 minutes, I'm going to forget about that feeling because we're already starting to prepare for D.C. But it's good. Especially some of these guys, are a little bit getting a little bit older. Next year, who knows who's going to be around here? Who knows if I'm going to be here? You never know. So it's good to get that one win, and now we have to get one more at home here, and then take it on the road, and then hopefully get another game back here.
Go ahead, Graham.
Mike, you've spoken previously about trying to change the character of this team, and I think that some people saw the last time this team faced DC in the playoffs as quite a telling example of what that team's character was at that time. Do you feel that this group of players is better prepared to face the challenge this time?
Listen, I think the toughest part about being a coach, and the part that really keeps me up at night, and the part that gets my heart racing, is the fact that no matter what you do for 5 days leading up to a game, it doesn't matter when the whistle blows. It doesn't matter. And I knew this as a player, but I didn't realize how difficult as a coach, because once that whistle blows, everything you said, everything you've done means nothing if they don't do it. It comes down to the players. The responsibility and the losses fall on me, which they should, and the wins fall on them. That's the most difficult. So you're asking me that question. That remains to be seen. We'll see.
Yeah, Dan.
Mike, obviously during the regular season, the back line's been kind of questionable. Tonight they were fantastic, especially Olave made at least one or two spectacular stops to help out Robles and the club, especially the one where he slid across to prevent a shot.
Yeah, over the last month and a half, it hasn't been perfect, but it's been a hell of a lot better than the first three quarters of the season. Having said that, they played a very, very deep line tonight with really one forward, and Luke can hit us on the break. DC, they have some quality guys up front, and they play two strikers, so it's going to be a different scenario, and they need to show up on Sunday.
Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Just kind of playing Sporting KC recently, I guess how difficult was it to maybe game plan for this game and try to change things up in that regard to maybe throw them off?
To be honest with you, we didn't change much up. My whole beginning thought process and what I said to them before the game was, I don't care if this game's at Rebel Arena in Kansas City or on the moon, this is how we are going to get a result. And it was very similar, not the same, it was very similar to how we played in Kansas City. We're not a team that could go out and press for 90 minutes. We have a lot of teams in this league that do that. They run up high for 90 minutes. We don't have that. That's not us. The difficulty in 3 days when they came in, I expected them to come at us a little more. But credit to them, they completely pulled a 180 on me, and they were almost successful at it.
Mike, sorry if this is already brought up. I just came in here, but before tonight, the Red Bulls had never won a home playoff game to get to the next round. All the big wins in the past were on the road in the playoffs. What does it mean?
Already been asked.
This hasn't been asked?
Peace out to give you the replay.
Now you've been each of those, even in 98 when you guys, with the crew, at Giant Stadium.
I missed the game the last time we kicked on that shot. Yeah, I remember.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
I red hair that night. I missed the first shot.
Does it mean that much for you? Have you been here for each step of that?
Yeah, I'll re-answer quickly. It feels great because what I said before was we have a lot of guys here who are getting on years. And not only that, I mean, next year there'll be some changes, you know, whether it's little or a lot. So it's good to get that that first, you know, that win in Red Bull Arena in the playoffs for a lot of these guys. I'm very happy for.
Let's just take one more, Christian, right here.
Mike, I know you're busy with the game and watching everything, but at any point did you think that this might be Thierry Henry's last match at Red Bull Arena? And did that enter your thought process at all?
I mean, I have to get tattooed on my head. I have no clue what Thierry's going to do, to be honest with you.
Goes well with red hair.
I'm not thinking about... No, I'm not thinking about that at all. I said it enough already. Thierry, I think, could play for two more years, whether it be here, whether it be back in England, or wherever he decides to play. His contract is up, but I don't know what he's going to do. Having said that, I guess if I look deep down inside myself in a quiet room in a yoga class and I meditate and I say, wow, this could be Thierry's last game, yes, I'm very happy for him. Extremely.
Petke, the head coach of the New York Red Bulls, very, very happy with what's going on. At the same time, stop asking him about Thierry Henry retiring. He hasn't said anything yet. We'll leave it alone. I know I haven't asked him about it. Oh, but still, though, what a night, what a win. And let's go straight to the man who is the 2014 Golden Boot winner in Major League Soccer, Bradley Wright Phillips.
What did you see on the second goal, on the cross coming over? I mean, did it seem like it took a long time to get to you?
Yeah, initially the ball was quite high, wasn't it? So I don't know. I thought I couldn't do much of it. Just try and get it on target.
Probably were down a goal weak. What were you guys thinking?
At the time, obviously, it makes your job harder, but I thought it worked in our favour, you know. They sat back because they had a lead. What you normally do, and it gave us a bit more possession, and we took our time and we got our two goals.
In your mind, was that a big key to it? After
yeah.
Getting their goal, they kind of...
Yeah, at the time, obviously, I didn't think when they scored, yeah, right, let's go. It's just how it worked out when I thought about it after the game. It's like they sat back a bit and, you know, obviously just wanted to see the game out, but it worked in our favour.
And I know you've only had the playoff series last year, but this team has never won a playoff game at Red Bull Arena before. Is that something you guys were aware of, and did
no.
that enter your mind at all?
No, those kind of things don't come into a player's mind. Well, I don't think it surely doesn't come in mind. You just you go out there and do what the manager says, you know. You don't really think about the history and so on.
The fact that you had success against the team this year, did that enter into at any point?
No, because each game's different, you know. That was the regular season, that's done, you know. They obviously came here with a game plan, and it worked for a long period of time, so, you know, we had to deal with that, and we did. We showed great character, and we got the win.
What kind of boosted the subs give you today?
Yeah, very well. We needed fresh legs. Obviously, we played two games in a matter of how many? What's the day today? 5 days, you know. So obviously, it was a squad performance today. And you see that when they came on. Yeah. Because that's what Peggy does, you know. It's just unfortunate that he can start in any team. He's a quality player, and he, you know, to have someone like that on the bench is it does wonders for us.
What did you feel when the second goal hit the back of the net? I mean, obviously the whole stadium erupted. You guys
yeah.
were pretty pumped. What did you feel?
I was pretty excited. At first, I thought, you know, initially I was going to be caught. I don't know why. And then I looked at the fans and they were going crazy, so it made me go mad.
When you took the equalizer, did you notice that it was kind of a deflection off the defender?
Yeah. Yeah, I know it took a deflection, but I don't care.
That's right.
I heard the announcer say Bradley Wright did it.
Can you take us through that goal and Henry's pass?
Yeah, TT, second half especially, he was quality, you know. He brought it was down memory lane. He was like a young man out there. He was taking on that guy for fun, and, you know, I did have a feeling something would come from him from the left, you know, if it came from anywhere, and he done what he does best.
Can you talk about the added intensity? I mean, you play regular season games. Now this was a step up. How much bigger was this?
I don't know. It felt quite regular to me. Obviously, you know, you can hear that the crowd's a bit louder, and, you know, it means a little bit more right now. But there wasn't too much different in the pace for me. It's just, you know, a lot more is riding on it.
You talked to Tunisia about having already put the record behind you.
Yeah.
And having to start again at zero.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to be invisible like that might have been your word in the playoffs. I mean, personally
yeah.
for you, how much satisfaction
yeah.
do you get knowing that clearly you weren't invisible today?
Yeah, well, I felt Kansas played me well today. You know, I was very quiet. You know, in gameplay, they played me well. I didn't really have a sniff on anything. But yeah, like you said, I wanted to get the regular season behind me. Now it's done. I want to do what I can in the playoffs, and I'm just happy to get off the mark. You know, in the playoffs, two goals.
You have three playoff goals so far in three matches. The two last year against Houston.
How comfortable do you feel in the playoffs right now?
It doesn't feel any different to me. It's a normal match, you know. I play it as a regular game. I try to score every game. I try to get shots on target, and it'll be the same against DC.
Anything else, guys? Were you surprised to find yourself so wide open on that second goal?
Yeah, I was. I was quite surprised, you know, because they were tight on me all game. You know, they marked me well. I was very quiet. They marked me at the game. On that one, there was no one there. So it might have been because of the height of the ball, maybe. They thought maybe the keeper would come, but they didn't. And thankfully, I got a good header on it.
Bradley Wright Phillips scoring both goals for the Red Bulls. 27 in the regular season, 2 in the postseason. He has right now 28 regular season goals in his career, 3 postseason goals right now and counting. He has 31 in all competitions at this moment. And who knows, maybe he'll go after the club's record for most goals in all competitions. We'll see what happens. But there's still plenty of time for Bradley Wright Phillips to get those wonderful moments. The captain of the New York Red Bulls, of course, it is Thierry Henry.
2-1.
How does it mean more to you, considering how long you've been here? You're probably the second most tenured player on the team. Does it mean a little bit more getting your first playoff?
No,
the Red Bull
we haven't done anything.
How challenging is it to try to beat the same team, a good team?
That's a good question. It's not an easy task, as you saw. I think it was one of the first time I saw Kansas City playing in front of their box. They wanted to make it difficult, exactly what we did today for 4 days ago, and it was difficult. As you saw, we created some chances. They were clear, but it's not like we were dominating too much. We had the ball a lot, if I can say. They were happy with that, and trying to hit us on the break, and they had a plan, and it looked like it was going to work, because he got the ball back from a mistake from our side, and it hit us in a break, and it looked like it was going to be one of those nights that we had a couple of times, more than a couple of times here, and we never gave up. We came back into the game and won it.
What do you think Piggy coming off the bench there?
I think you saw it. So sometimes you don't have to talk.
How difficult will it be for you to play? I mean, this is an unusual schedule. You have about 2.5 days to come back for the next very important match. How difficult is that?
We did that during the season. Sometimes you stay. Sometimes you do Saturday, Saturday, and sometimes you do Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. And we didn't manage it not that bad during the season this year. So hopefully we can do that. But it's playoff time, so I'm gonna try to rest before playing DC on Sunday. And you guys all know how difficult it is every time we play those guys. So, we're gonna enjoy tonight, but tomorrow's another day.
Were you more comfortable as the game went on?
I thought. We kept the ball well. That's what they wanted, and we created. Whether we did it from the left or from the right, and we could have scored before that. And what was good tonight, as we kept on going, we didn't give up, and we got rewarded.
Out of all the opponents you've played in a regular season, and when it gets to playoff time, it does get a lot difficult. Has Sporting Kansas City been, or any of the clubs you play in the playoffs, been more difficult against you?
It's always difficult. Like I said to you, if I roll back the years, it looked like one of the games that we actually lost here. Houston, San Jose, I mean, I'm not going to name them all, but we created chances in all of those games. We should have been 1 or 2-0 up, and then we ended up being 1-0 down, like tonight. But tonight, we kept our composure. We didn't lose our shape, something that we did against Columbus. We didn't lose our shape. We kept our focus, although it looked like the game was going to finish 1-0. But we scored, and obviously, like I said so many times, when you have a guy like Bradley Wright Phillips in the box, and you can find him, then he can finish the job.
Did you get the sense that after they went up 1-0, they were just try to see this game off, and if that's the case,
well, I mean, as long as you have time, you try to win the game, right? But I think that's what they wanted. They wanted to hit us on the break, waiting for one of our mistakes, and it happened, and they went on scoring that goal. And the thing, like I said just before, is we didn't lose our shape. You know, sometimes, you know, you get confused into the, like, you have that mixed feeling, you know, shall we all go forward? And then you leave yourself exposed, and we didn't do that tonight. We stayed in our position. I stayed wide, Lloyd stayed wide. We stayed kind of in the same position. Obviously, when Peggy come on, team went a bit lower, but we had the same shape, and I thought that was the key. Although it looked like, you know, finals win.
Does this feel any different to you at the end of, you know, as you approach the end of a contract? Does it feel different to play these last games?
No, it doesn't. Same feeling. We knew that obviously if we didn't win today, we're going on holiday, and that's what we wanted to do. That's all. That's where we all are right now, and now obviously focusing on DC. Like I said to you before, it won't be an easy one. But that's why I said to you, not in a bad way, when I said to you we haven't done anything. Still a long way to go. It's not because you beat Kansas City that you have done anything. You know, that doesn't give you nothing. We didn't get anything at the end of the game, just the right to advance and make sure that we can play DC. That's all.
Is there meaning for you in a home playoff win, though, after, you know, getting to this precise point in the past few years and then falling?
Yeah. We kind of, if I can say, stopped that. But like I said, it's just something that's going to stay into the stats, if I can say. Now we have another challenge, a big one. They were amazing this year, so we're going to have to regroup and focus to play against them.
DC had a great season, finished first in the East. You guys played pretty well against them this year. Is there confidence to be gained for you guys from the way you played against them this year?
We played well, but we lost twice at their place. So, you know, sometimes playing well doesn't mean that you win. But, yeah, it's going to be a different playoff time. Like you saw today, it was a different Kansas City. We managed to beat them, like I said to you, but don't get it twisted. It's a playoff game. Last year, people thought that maybe first game we're gonna play against Houston is gonna be maybe, and then they knocked us out. So anything can happen.
Here, can you talk about the inclusion of some of the young players, especially Oyongo, who, since coming over here, Ambrose Oyongo has been very active, and he's been giving several great crosses for goals for Bradley, especially for other players as well.
That's exactly what you said. He's been very active. It's desire. I mean, you put him on the right, you put him as a left winger, you put him left back. I'm sure if you put him center back, center forward, I don't know if he's going to be the, you know, amazing out there, but he will try his best, and that's all you can ask for someone. And that's what he did tonight. You know, great pass from Peggy, and he's running to ask for the ball, and he doesn't try to cut it back to put it on his left. If not, you kill the movement, kind of. And he tried with his right foot, and he found Bradley, and Bradley did what he's been doing since the beginning of the season. But yeah, you have to give all those guys credit, because Oyongo has no fear, and you can see when he plays. That's why he went to the national team too. You know, you just don't go to the national team and come the way he comes with all that commitment and desire. You know, I remember him coming here and being on trial. So it's been an amazing season for him.
You mentioned that you yell.
That is Thierry Henry talking about Ambrose Oyongo and the match. And that will do it for this one-hour special, the Wild Card Review Show for the 2014 MLS Cup Playoffs. Join me this Tuesday and next Tuesday as we will review both legs. This coming Tuesday, we'll review the first leg of the conference semifinals. Next Tuesday, we'll review the second legs of all the conference semifinals. Thank you for listening to me tonight. Thanks again to Mark Followill for coming in and recording the segment with me. And this is the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, the 2014 MLS Cup Playoffs Wild Card Review Show. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your football, and talk to you on Tuesday. Bye-bye for now.